Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I am picking the Tennessee Titans to win. And I am picking the Tennessee Titans to win an ugly 9-7 rain-filled, defensive, muddy, ugly, dirty game. One touchdown early, Jets up 7-0. Titans Twitter goes insane with how bad the offense will look. And then somehow, some way, they'll find a way to kick 3 field goals, force 1 turnover, and they'll beat Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. That's my opinion of the game. And the only reason I can come up with this is because I've seen this far too many times in my life where I think the Titans have absolutely no chance, and then the Titans find a way to win. But boy, let me tell you something. They really, 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 really need to win on Sunday. Because if they don't, it's going to get ugly around here. The fans can rationalize what happened last week for only so long. Then it gets to the point to where that anger rises and fans get really, really, really angry and they don't let up. See, the Titan fans this week let up their anger. There was all the excitement. There was all the hype. The sunshine pumping for 9 months since the day Brian Callahan got there. It was nothing but lollipops and rainbows. And every time they screwed up in practice on offense, it's because they had a good defense. And even when they screwed up against the Seahawks in the joint practices on offense, it was because they're ironing out the kinks. And when Levis and Ridley couldn't connect, oh no, they'll figure it out. People said the same thing in Cincinnati about Ja'Marr Chase not being able to catch the ball. And look at Ja'Marr Chase now. But that's fine. Until we start playing. In fact, I thought that Brian Callahan's positive disposition was actually a negative for the team and its fan base, because I think it raised expectations to a place to where they shouldn't be. When I came out before the season and said 7-10, people said, oh, no, no, no. I'm like, you do realize that's what most people think your team is going to be, right? When Ian and I put together our preseason expectations and we had 5 wins and 4 wins, Ian's apparently had 4 wins, when we put together our preseason, people, oh, no, we're better than we were last year. So people can only hold on to that for so long. Titan fans were mad about what happened last Sunday, but they let it go after Monday. And each day since then, there's been a little bit more rationalizing the loss. There's been a little more acceptance. There's been a little less anger each day and a little more optimism about the Jets game. But again, you lose on Sunday, you go to 0-2, you can't say, well, it's just a game. And at some point, people over there start to feel the heat. If Mike Vrabel couldn't handle that heat that came over the last 5 weeks of the season last year, what makes you think everybody over there now can? And I'll say this, and I totally believe it, and the Titans can say that's not true until the cows come home. But if Mike Vrabel could have handled the heat for the last month of the year, if every question didn't have to be a war, if everything didn't have to be walking off because he's asked about Craig Aukerman after he fired him, walking off the press conference set, or when asked about Rand saying, I mean, I want to be here and do this the right way. And if it could have just been sucking it up, breathing it in, okay, Paul, ask your bullcrap question. He asks it, and you give a reasonable answer. I think Vrabel will still be the coach. I really believe that. But he couldn't handle the heat. And so if the Titans don't win on Sunday, it's going to get bad. And it's going to get bad for Will Levis, assuming he doesn't throw for 350 yards in a loss. And considering he's never done that, I have a hard time believing that's what would happen. And I think it starts to get bad for Rand Carthon, too. Brian Callahan, I think, will have to take some of the heat because he's the one who has to face the music after the game. He's the one that has to get up there and explain. And if they're the same mistakes that are being made, then he's going to have to be the one who has to explain why they're not getting better at this, why they still can't pass protect, why the quarterback can't make good decisions, why they're wasting good defense, why they got special teams. He's going to have to be the one to answer for that. But again, Mike Lombardi said there was a power struggle between Carthon and Vrabel, and Carthon won. And he said that Carthon won because he convinced the owner that Will Levis was the guy. And if the Titans don't win, and it starts to look like Will Levis isn't the guy, then the Mike Lombardis of the world, the pro-Vrabel crowd, and you know that exists, will get louder and louder and louder, and it will get ugly around here. Last year, Rand got the benefit of the doubt from ownership and some of the fans. I don't think Rand got the benefit of the doubt from 100% of the fans, but he did get the benefit of the doubt from some of the fans. I don't know what will happen if this goes on this year. Things get out of whack. Last year didn't have a press conference. Doesn't do that this year. That might be detrimental. So I will tell you this. Floyd used to always tell me that Al Davis one time got up in an owners meeting and he said, "Boys, we have the best product in the country. Don't screw it up." And he knew it because he knew how popular football was across America. And everybody still cares. Bud Grant used to tell him, coaching in the NFL is the best job in the world when you win. The Titans, I will say this, the good news is, it looks like they're going to be playing Malik Willis in week 3, and it looks like they might be playing Skylar Thompson in week 4. But I'm telling you, even though the Titans are not favored to beat the Jets, this fan base is expecting the Titans to beat the Jets on Sunday. And I don't think you should expect the Titans to beat the Jets. But I'm just telling you, this fan base is expecting it. And if they get upset again, I don't know how the fans are going to feel about the Heat. And I don't know how the Titans are going to take it. You know, Levis can get up there and say, "I didn't lose any sleep after last Sunday's game." And Titan fans, because once again, Titan fans have decided after they were mad about it on Monday, they decided on Tuesday it was only one game, and they still believe, and it'll be okay, and it'll be fine, and on we go. They're not going to feel that way if it happens in two games, because you can't then rationalize with yourself that it was only one game. So, again, I remember when the Vrabel stuff happened last year. And I remember at the end of the year, I was talking to Buck about this. And I remember saying, 6 weeks is a long time. And each time Vrabel went out there and did something, it just made it worse. And that was the heat of not winning. I mean, I almost wonder if Mike Vrabel had beaten the JV Texans in the Oiler uniforms if he'd still have his job. I really, really wonder that. So again, when it comes to the Titans, I mean, I am picking the Titans to win. I'm not expecting the Titans to win, but I am picking them. But at the same time, and nobody gets in trouble for something they haven't done yet, but Titan fans were told this was going to be a better season, this was going to be a better team. And if through 2 weeks it doesn't look like a better season and a better team, and it looks like the same old crap from the last 2 years, they ain't going to be very happy. And they're not going to start all of a sudden rationalizing and accepting on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday the way they have this week. So I'm just telling you right now, this will be a great opportunity if you win. But you better win this week. And with the owner, there is no telling what getting off to a bad start will mean for her. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of people want to weigh in on this. And I know a lot of people think that Will Levis will change. He will learn. Chris Sanders said it's correctable. I don't know if the Jets feel that way. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And then we're to your phone, Stillman & Company, 1025, 106 through the game.
Jets defense, well, it was pretty uncharacteristic for them on Monday night to give them 8 straight scoring drives. What are you kind of seeing from them on tape right now?
They're looking good. It's you know, different defense in terms of where we think the holes are and where we think our opportunities are compared to last week, which is cool. So I feel like we have some good stuff lined up for them. Obviously, a good defensive front, and we're gonna have things to handle. You know, those interior guys and protection, and then secondary. You know, they're really good, really solid on the outside. Obviously, 4-2. He's gonna be good out there for them, and hopefully, we just find ways to take easy throws, and then also find ways to develop one-on-one shots down the field. So. They're good for a reason. They do things well. DeMario does a great job of leading them in the middle there. And like I said, I feel like, though, we do have some good things that we're going to be able to work against them and hopefully open up and give us some good ops.
DeMario, hopefully they can take advantage of DeMario this week. He's done a good job for the Jets so far. There's not a DeMario on their team, but that's okay. That's okay. Let me just say this. This is a question I have because, boy, the text line's blown up with people that are mad. Because, again, I've just said, if they lose on Sunday, and I think they're going to win. But if they lose on Sunday, it's going to get ugly. But people are like, that's the bad radio, Jared. You're just starting stuff. You're just And I'm like, okay, then what more do we expect? Like, if he threw for 129 yards on Sunday, and 2 interceptions and 1 touchdown, and he missed Calvin Ridley on the deep balls. What do we expect now? Do we expect him to be 65%? Do we expect him to throw for 250? Do we expect there to be 1 interception or less? Like, somebody tell me. Because it's all like just this, oh no, Jared, it'll be better. You'll see. You'll see. Like this one texter said, we're inventing worst case scenarios 1 week into the season. Put on the YouTube chat. I'm like, worst case scenario, I said if they lose, it's going to get bad. That is a 50-50 outcome. Win or lose. I guess you could tie, but win or lose. Phone line streamed by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Gerald has been waiting patiently and is up next on the program on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Gerald, go ahead.
Hey, man. Kind of becoming a big fan of you. Just found this channel a few days ago and I've been listening to it nonstop. I listen to it in the morning and in the afternoon. But talking about how you think Tennessee is going to win, I really don't see how Aaron Rodgers is going to come into this game and not just take over. Last week Tennessee, when they did do good in the first half, it was pretty much just Pollard in the first half. Like, they really... And, I mean, I think the Jets just have a better defense, and I think they're just going to stop them, and they're not going to be able to get much going on.
So, Gerald, I want you to know, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you finding our station. And, again, we're always picking up new people, it feels like, every day, so we're thankful for that. When I picked the Titans to win 9-7, there was not an ounce of expecting 9-7 to happen. Not 1 ounce. It's just, I look at everything, like if I were to put on paper, I mean, we did this earlier today in the show when we went over that whole kind of who has the edge between the two teams. Quarterback, who has the edge? Jets. Running back, who has the edge? Jets. Receivers, who has the edge? Jets. Offensive line, who has the edge? Jets. Defensive line, Titans. Linebackers, Jets. Defensive backs, Jets. Special teams, Jets. Coaching, even. It's like there doesn't seem to be a lot adding up for how the Titans are going to win this game. On top of it, the Jets just got embarrassed on Monday Night Football against San Francisco. And unlike you that got embarrassed locally, they got embarrassed around the country where people are yelling and screaming every time they turn on the TV. People can't believe it. It's like, oh, my God, what's going on here? And so I don't necessarily see a path to victory. I mean, I guess defense can rule the day and they can eke out an ugly victory and everything else. But, I mean, I don't think the Jets are going to let you turn around and hand the ball to Tony Pollard 15 times right up the middle and move the ball down the field. Not with their linebackers led by DeMario and Quinnen Williams and those guys. I mean, there's no way that they're going to let you do that, in my opinion. But I've seen this so many times over the years where I'm like, they can't. There's no way this is going to happen. There's no way they'll find it, though. And then it's like, oh, my God. How did they do it? How did they do it? And that's the best I can give you. So I feel like, Gerald, you're on the same wavelength with me. I'm not sure I necessarily see it that way, but whatever it may be. One texter says, Zach Taylor went 2-14 his first year in Cincinnati. Expectations for this year's team was set too high, and it will take time. Unfortunately, starting 0-1 with poor quarterback play is cause for full-blown freakouts by the fan base. Well, let me say this. Zach Taylor took over a team with Andy Dalton at quarterback, and A.J. Green got hurt, and they were really bad that first year, and they ended up getting to pick Joe Burrow. But, like, that team didn't have a young quarterback. This team has, again, I'm not a humongous fan of this young quarterback anymore, but this team was supposed, hey, we got a young quarterback, we're going to build around the young quarterback, we're going to... That right there, I have an issue with, is the idea that, you know, hey, this is going to be like the same in Cincinnati because Brian Callahan was there, and Brian Callahan's here, and this is going to be the same thing. Again, you know, Mike Lombardi said, and I totally believe this, Brian Callahan got the job because Amy Adams Shrunk wanted him to develop Will Levis. Now, I'm not saying Zach Taylor didn't get the job to win with Andy Dalton, because I don't know. But I am telling you that it was like, okay, now we know on Andy Dalton, let's move on and draft Joe Burrow. And then he had the opportunity under Joe Burrow. Ian, Alex from Franklin is losing his mind.
About what?
Alex says, Jared, I actually think Alex is like a pretty big homer. I could be wrong about this. Jared, I've been unable to text this week because of work. But Brian Callahan needs to be one and done like Nathaniel Hackett, mainly because of him throwing Levis under the bus and breaking his promise about fixing Levis. Brian Callahan may be worse than Ken Whisenhunt. He just doesn't have the arrogance of him, and he has better OR skills than Vrabel. I'm thinking it's PR. That's probably what he was looking for.
Probably, yeah.
Better PR skills than Vrabel. Let me say this about Brian Callahan. I think Brian Callahan, first of all, I know Brian Callahan's a good man.
It's been one game.
He's a good man. I think he's a good coach. I don't know it. That's why I had to go even on coaching when picking who had the edge between the Titans and the Jets, because I think Robert Saleh, the head coach of the Jets, is a total doofus. And I still had to go even. But I think Brian Callahan, I don't think Brian Callahan is going to get up there at the podium every day and tell you the unvarnished truth, and I don't think anybody would do that. I wouldn't do that if I was the coach. But I do think that Brian Callahan can smell the coffee. Whereas I think sometimes people in this organization can't. I think Brian Callahan can smell the coffee. One texter says, I appreciate you telling it how it is, but this is even out there for your show. We somehow went from Levis having a bad half to this whole worst-case scenario where Amy fires Ran. I agree with Corey here. It's not fair to give Levis the benefit of the doubt anymore, but I don't get why you're acting like his potential as a starter and for the team to have a good season could already be over. We need a bigger sample size before the bye to see how coachable he really is. Well, let me break this down into all these different little areas. Let's start with the fact that now it's turned in. Ian, have you seen this? It's now turned into a bad half.
It was one bad half.
It was one bad game for most of this week, was what we were being told.
Yeah, Corey made a good point today.
On Monday, it was like, oh, God, oh, he's such a dope. And that's true, because that's what we all experienced Sunday. But as we've distanced ourselves from the hurt of what happened Sunday, we're rationalizing it even more, because I felt a serious shift from Monday to Tuesday, where I felt like most people were saying, oh, it's okay, it's one bad game. It's one bad game. That's it. And now it's Friday, it's one bad half. You see how that is? Soon it's going to be one bad throw. And that's what we're going to, that's how we're going to take it. So let's look at this as a whole. First of all, it wasn't like the first half was a good first half for Will Levis. He missed Calvin Ridley on a deep ball. The touchdown pass he threw to Chig was a very interceptable pass. And Chig made a great play on it, which is probably the first of his career. Just a great play by Chig. But to sit there and say, like, oh, he had a good first half, it was just a couple of bad, you know, here and there. The coach told him, do not do anything stupid. We could punt the ball. We could punt the ball on first down. Now, again, the problem with that is that you have to be able to punt it, which the Titans were unable to do on Sunday at Chicago, but I know what he means. And Levis went out and did the exact opposite. And I don't think that Levis tried to do the exact opposite. I just think that's his natural inclination. That's just what he does. That's just that. Those natural reactions Holmes has that does some of these crazy, unbelievable things. We're like, oh my God. That's what Levis has, except that the oh my God is not, oh my God, that's incredible, Mahomes. Instead, it's, oh my God, he just did that. I remember when Coach Shoup was on the show for that, you know, 6 month period or whatever, and the Titans played Cincinnati and they got beat, and I was talking about how I was at the game. And I looked at Joe Burrow and I was like, Joe Burrow is like John Elway. He's built like John Elway. He's athletic like John Elway. He's accurate like John Elway. He's John Elway. Like, this is the closest thing I've seen to John Elway in my life. And Coach Shoup was like, I see some of that. But I also see some of Joe Montana's cool. I remember when Solomon Wilcots came on our show at the Super Bowl to sell us those voodoo pills. And you remember that? Composure. Yeah. I remember, I think it was like a Vidalia root onion roots, I don't remember, but composure. And I remember when Solomon at the Super Bowl was, he had like a little read in front of him that he was doing for these voodoo pills, and he was like, you know how Joe Montana is Joe cool? Well, I like to call Joe Burrow Joe calm. And like, there's something to that. Levis is the opposite of that. And being the opposite of Joe Montana is not what I want out of my quarterback. In fact, I want the opposite of the opposite of Joe Montana, which is Joe Montana. And then the thing about, like, I mean, how can we get to this discussion about Amy firing Rand? I didn't say Amy was going to fire Rand if they lose. I said it's going to get ugly around here. And it is going to get ugly around here. I already know. And I'm not talking about myself making it ugly. I'm talking about what the fans are going to react to. I'm going to feel however I feel after the game Sunday. I don't know how I'm going to feel because I don't know what's going to happen on Sunday. But I know this organization, and I know that if the owner loves you today and you lose tomorrow, she will totally change her mind. Because that's all we've seen over the last 2 years. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. What one of the Jets players had to say about Will Levis. I don't think they thought it was one bad half. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Oh, let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right, FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. And who's ready for more NFL this week? I am. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, is continuing to offer its special deal to keep people like you watching more. I've already got Sunday tickets, so I will be watching all the games on Sunday. And now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/JGM to download America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/JGM to download America's number one sportsbook. 21 and over and present in Tennessee, full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds, terms and restrictions and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
just coming to the work the same way I have every day, regardless of what happens the day before. And that's been the MO since day one. I feel like it's also a part of my game that I've improved on a lot in my career. There have been times where a game like that would have lingered for days, weeks, and really just kept getting to me. But I didn't lose sleep Sunday night, you know. I knew that I'm a good quarterback in this league, and obviously a lot of things to get better on. But watching that tape, I still have that confidence, and knowing that it's just kind of a fluke play that I can definitely learn from. So, I've still got all the confidence in the world in this team and everything. Just got to come to work every day the same way, regardless of what happens.
I got all the confidence in the world that I'm a good quarterback. I know I'm a good quarterback. Based on what? Remember how mad some of you guys got when Madden Football ranked Will Levis the worst starting quarterback in the NFL?
Bad awareness.
I mean, so, I get it. I mean, I understand confidence, and you got to have it, and don't lose the faith and all of that. But this whole, like, you know, I didn't lose sleep Sunday night because I know I'm still good. Buddy, I mean, I kind of wish you had lost some sleep. It's a bad thing of what you did on Sunday. Like, very, very bad. Like, Terry Bradshaw has a gold jacket, and he called you out. Bill Belichick has 6 Super Bowls, and he called you out. So, I don't know if this just, you know, and I love too. He's like, you know, earlier in my career, those things might have gotten me down. It's like, well, but everyone's telling me I should accept your bullcrap because you're a young player. But now you're telling me you're a vet. What? I don't. And to me, I just think it's just words. Like, I just think it's just like, I'm going to get up there and tell everybody that I still have faith because I'm trying to tell myself that. But I don't think the Jets are buying it. This is Jermaine Johnson, the defensive end. I actually forgot about him. He was picked in the first round or the second round a couple years ago, Ian. I believe the first round, right?
I think that is right. I can double check.
I kind of forgot about him, but he's, I guess, a starter on the Jets. And he was asked about Will Levis, and here's what Jermaine Johnson of the Jets had to say.
What are your impressions of Will Levis?
He's a talented athlete, and you know, he can throw the ball pretty well, but just watching film and just understanding some things about him, especially when he comes out, he's one of those guys that kind of, you know, when things aren't going his way, he kind of can panic a little early, and just understanding how we can get him to that point as a defense and kind of how we can capitalize off of that. So just understanding how we're going to go throughout the week, understanding that what we can do on defense to make sure that we win this game.
I mean, he just told you right there. He just told you. He said, hey, he can throw the ball now. And, you know, he's got talent, and he's a good athlete, and, you know, all of that. Because, again, the Jets, they didn't go into the meeting room and say, all right, guys, Tennessee, number 8, he sucks. They didn't do that. They went into the meeting room and said, all right, Will Levis, number 8. He was taken in the second round a couple years ago. He can throw the ball down the field. So if you think I've already run 30 yards down the field, he's not going to throw it. All of a sudden, that ball might be 60 yards down the field. And you've always got to be paying attention because sometimes he doesn't know where he's putting it. And you may be able to pick a ball off here, but you got to be careful for him throwing it down the field. He also can get away and he can run and he can do things, you know. And if he's running, don't just hold up thinking he's going to slide. Because he might not. So let's be sure that if he doesn't take a slide, let's make him pay for it. And then the one thing we feel like, boys, is if we can get him on tilt, he's going to do something, lose the game for him. That's a game plan. That's the team meeting. That's what they said. Because they know what I know, which you guys don't want to admit, which is when the going gets tough, Will Levis reverts back to panic ball. And that's how you see the YOLO throws against Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay and Chicago and the JV Texans and the mistakes that come. And I know Will Levis led them back against Miami, and that was great. And I would also argue I thought Will Levis did a good job leading them back against Indianapolis at home last year. It's not like he's incapable of winning a game, but it is more likely than not that if you get him on tilt, he's going to screw up. And the Jets know it. And that's why they said it. They know it. 615-737-1025. Mark has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Mark, thank you for calling.
Hey there. I watched that game Sunday, and honestly, I mean, and I got to tell you, I'm a Bears fan. I live here in Nashville, and the Titans are my second team. I thought Levis showed a lot of spunk in that game. I saw him throw a couple of third down passes and get absolutely hammered, standing in the pocket and completing the passes in the second half. When the O-line that had been pretty stout in the first half kind of caved in on him. And outside of the one stupid, you know, desperation trying to get rid of the ball thing that ended up being the game winner for the Bears, I really thought, and I think you're underrating his performance in the first half. I've seen too many bad quarterbacks to say that this kid is a bad quarterback.
Mark, he threw for 129 yards.
Well, that may be, but part of it was whatever happened to the Bears' defense in the second half, that they changed their scheme or they spread their defensive ends out wider, whatever that the coach said that they did, it changed the whole scheme, and suddenly he was under pressure the whole time. I just feel like he stood in there. He just.
Do we have any expectation?
I think he looked.
You think he looked good? You think he looked good on Sunday?
I thought he looked good in the first half, and I thought that under major duress in the second half, he completed a couple of first down passes on third down, and took a major hit. At least one time, I saw him just get smashed into the ground, but.
That's not a good thing. That is a problem that he constantly gets himself in harm's way.
Well, it's the kind of thing that Brett Favre always did. It's the kind of thing that I mean, I think it's kind of funny that Bradshaw criticized him because Bradshaw is the same kind
of quarterback. He was 9 of 15 for 67 yards in the first half.
Well,
that's not good. Thank you for your call, Mark. That's not good. Stop lowering the bar all the way to the bottom. You know, hey, I saw him complete a ball on third down to Calvin Ridley. That has to be good. It's the NFL. Like, it's the NFL. He threw for 67 yards in the first half. Tony Pollard rushed for 64. Tony Pollard rushed for as many yards as he threw for, and you want to tell me that he played well? He got 22 of those on one throw. So take the 122 yard completion out. That's 8 completions. What is 67 minus 22? That is 45. So 45 divided by 8. That's actually not that bad. 5.6 yards per completion. But, you know, as far as attempts, it's probably a lot lower. That's awful. Awful. He had a 22-yarder and a 17-yarder to Chigakonkwo. Like, that's awful. And you're going to say, actually, I thought he was very impressive in the first half. Very impressive because he didn't make any massive mistake? Yay! Oh, God. If you were to say, hey, you know, I felt like Will Levis went out there and, you know, he I don't even know what you could say to put lipstick on that pig. I don't. And I'm not going to try as much as I think some people want to out there. John in Nashville is up next here on the program. John, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, go.
Hey, I want him to be like another young quarterback that just came into the league a couple of years ago. He started the season late, played about 10 games, got hurt, came back and started his second year with about 10 games under his belt. And that's Brock Purdy. I want him to be like Brock Purdy. Learn the plays, learn the routes, understand where the ball needs to go, and just throw a ball to the open receiver. I don't need him to play hero ball, which is what he tries to do now. And
I don't think he tries. You know, John, I think you're off on this, and I appreciate your call. He has no chance of being Brock Purdy. In fact, his strengths are the exact opposite of Brock Purdy's strengths, and Brock Purdy has the best coach and two receivers and the second-best tight end and the best left tackle and the best running back, and so he has no shot to be Purdy. But again, I don't think Levis tries to play hero ball. I think Levis plays panic ball. I thought we had a great call on Monday where I think it was Lorenzo called in and he said, everybody keeps saying Levis is out there playing hero ball. He's not playing hero ball. He's playing panic ball. And I'm like, that's so true. And Tim Kelly realized it after the Pittsburgh game, and that's why in the Tampa Bay game, he said, no, we're going to throw bubble screens to Kyle Phillips because you're going to get us beat. Like, we have a chance to come back and win the game, but if we take the if we do the things that you do when you start to feel like the game's getting away, if you do those things, we have no chance to win. So we're going to throw it short to Kyle Phillips and see if he can run with the ball, since that's the best we can do. And that is, I think, a little disappointing. Kenny the Mailman's up next here on the program. Kenny, thank you for calling. Hey. Go ahead, Kenny.
One of the best traits a person could have is to be totally self-aware, to know where you are and your skills. You're a radio host. You know you can't miss commercial breaks. I'm a mailman. I know I can't leave packages on the wrong stairs. And when Amen. I do, I ought to say, I didn't do right. I listened to that press conference, and I don't even know if that was the same game we were watching. Do people realize the Titans did not cross midfield in the second half? I've never heard of a pro team doing that before. Have you?
Kenny, it was just one bad half.
They completed only one pass over 18 yards. And remember the crazy flip that cost them the game? Nobody's talking about it. He did that also in the third quarter, and the coaches didn't go nuts and say, don't ever do that again. He threw it down in the middle of the lineman. It could have easily bounced straight up off a lineman's leg and been intercepted there. So, you know, I know he's just starting and everything, but he is 25, and there's certain things you can't do. He says he's going to play his game. I'd rather he play the coach's game until he learns about his game.
Kenny, good call.
Y'all have a good day.
Kenny, amen. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 here on the program. By the way, there is something that I don't know if it's going to be a thing, but I think it should. We'll get to that and more of your phones here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I love Fireball Sin Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to start off the weekend and ignite the night than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. That's right. I love Fireball Whiskey. Again, it tastes so great, and it goes down so smooth. There is no better way to enjoy the weekend. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
The pressure on the Jets, who look like a contender. It's one thing, Bart Scott, to look the way they looked on the road against one of the best teams in the NFL and one of the best coaches. Why are you doing that?
I'm just looking at the gym. I cannot believe this guy, man.
We cannot believe what?
I can't believe this is my general manager,
okay,
man.
Okay, put the picks up. I can see what he's seeing.
I can't even look at it. I can't even look at you right now. I know Bill's your guy, man, but come on, man. Are you serious?
On the screen, the reason that Bart is reacting is because Mike Tannenbaum is predicting that the Titans will win this game. Why is that?
Here's
why.
I understand a Trojan horse over here, but not you.
Yeah, Bart, because you know you can't fix run defense so quickly. Look at the Miami Dolphins,
man. Right?
Jacksonville last week, they rushed for 128 yards. Last night, Buffalo ran right down the field. James Cook was over 5 yards a carry. And to me, Bill Callahan, the father of the head coach of Brian Callahan, on Saturday night in that team meeting, they're going to say 4 yards or more, we're going to run it again. So and until the Jets can prove that they can stop the run, Tennessee is going to be able to control the line of scrimmage. I think they win the game.
So that was Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN. Ian, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that's going to work.
What's that?
I don't think the idea of just running it right down their throat is going to work on Sunday.
Yeah, you think they'll adjust?
I think they watch the Bears tape. They'll do what the Bears did. They'll whatever it is the Bears did to stop the Titans running the ball, they'll do the same thing. Plus, like, they know they gave up all those yards. They got challenged in their manhood on national TV. And they've got Quinnen Williams, and they've got C.J. Mosley, and they've got Quincy Williams, and they've got, like, they can stop the run. So, I hope he's right.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Titans, but I don't think the idea that Bill Callahan's going to run the ball every play, I don't think that's going to happen.
San Francisco's run game is, you know, next level as far as the blocking scheme and the linemen and all that stuff.
Plus, the Jets probably didn't prepare, you know, just for San Francisco to run the ball down their throat like that.
Especially with that Titans, McCaffrey.
I can promise you, they went in the meeting room and they were like, Tony Pollard's best player they got. And every player there for the Jets was like, that makes sense to me because I look at the board and I know DeAndre's hurt and old. But other than that, I don't know any of these guys anyways. Who the hell is Chigakonkwo? So, yeah, that makes sense to me. Tony Pollard's the best player. It reminded me last year when the Titans played Pittsburgh on Thursday night and Tomlin was talking about the challenges on defense and he was talking about Derrick Henry for like a minute and a half. And then he talked about DeAndre for like a minute and a half. And he was like, when I look at the Titans, they have Derrick Henry and Derrick Henry runs the ball. And the way he runs it, he still runs it like Derrick Henry. And if we do not tackle him, it's going to be a long night. The way he runs the ball, he moves it effectively. We have got to be aware of our gaps and our spacing, and we have got to be sure that we get in there and that we hit him first. When it comes to DeAndre, it's still D-Hop out there watching the way he plays. He can this, he that, he's this, this. And Tomlin goes on and he goes, Will, and then Will, he's got some other eligibles, and like Onconquo and the other guys. It was like Tomlin didn't know a single person on the Titans offense outside of Henry and Hopkins. And that's what it is now with Pollard and Hopkins and Ridley a little bit. But it's not like Ridley's really done a whole lot in his career, so really just Pollard and Hopkins. One texter says, Jared, you remember how the GM used to always say he could stop the run if he wanted to by bringing down one extra guy? Well, for four quarters, the 49ers absolutely just ran a Scarbini running back down the throat of the Jets. That is how they score 20. I mean, maybe. I mean, look, I'm not going to say it's impossible. The one thing I will say, and I feel pretty comfortable saying it, is you ain't the 49ers. Like, you don't have the threat of the passing game that they have. You don't have Trent Williams, who they have. You don't have Kyle Shanahan, who they have. And even then, like, the Jets have been told all offseason their defense was great. And they went out there and they got embarrassed on national TV. And just like you guys tell me, well, Levis won't let that happen again, that stupid pick six he threw. Don't you think the Jets are going to say, we're not going to let them run the ball right down the middle on us? And there's no real fear of a passing game. If you get beat deep, first of all, they're going to put Sauce Gardner and who's the other guy? Whoever it is, DeMario, DJ Reed. They're going to put Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed on Hopkins and Ridley, and even if they get beat deep, there's really not a fear that Levis is going to hit the throw.
Although Reed is a little shaken up this week. Yeah, he did not practice. Did not practice today. Officially
questionable for the game.
Yeah,
you know, if Mike Tomlin was the coach, he'd tell you if the guy's going to play.
Would he?
Yeah. Brian Callahan kind of does it, but like Tomlin basically just is like, "All right, I'm going to tell you all about the injuries." Johnny has a knee. He is questionable for the game, but he will play. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess Brian Callahan's kind of the same way.
He does open up every presser with the injury situation and status.
By the way, do we count Taylor Lewan's report last week as correct?
No.
Even though DeAndre played when he said DeAndre wasn't going to play because DeAndre really didn't play?
Incorrect.
But he did. DeAndre didn't really play.
No.
I mean, he kind of played.
He played.
Ish.
I mean, he didn't make much of an impact, but he played.
Ian, you buying any of this Tannehill to the Dolphins smoke?
No, not really.
Do you think Tua's going to retire?
No, I do not.
I hope he does. Not because I don't want him to play, but just because I don't want to.
I'm not trying to. Yeah, I don't really want to
see his brain explode.
Tell him what to do or anything, you know? But. No, I don't think he'll retire.
Chad Withrow joins us from Outkick next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.